your porch lights off because they're coming home with a trophy.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Sharkcast Radio, a weekly podcast on all things Cronulla Sharks, brought to you by Dyson Logistics, the Royal Motor Yacht Club, Port Hacking, LGB Supplements, Shark Island Brewing Company, and Endeavour Property Services. I am your host, or one half of the hosting, Sharks fanatic Newman, and I'm joined as I am every week down here at the Royal Motor Yacht Club by my fellow Sharks fanatic and Sydney singer-songwriter, Fox Sports stats man, Sam Shenazzi. How you going?
Hey, Newman, what's happening? We're coming off a big week of rugby league. There was an exhibition game on very recently, but more importantly to us, we lost the game. The streak is over.
You can get in touch with us at sharkcastpod@gmail.com or make sure you hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at SharkCastPod. And the official records will read, the Sharks will roll by very enthusiastic South Sydney Rabbitohs 22 points to 14, which leaves us on the downward spiral into seventh position on the NRL ladder. And it was an unenthusiastic, lethargic, and all-round disappointing performance against the Bunnies. We were outplayed.
Down the middle too, Newman. We thought they'd come that way. They did. They were big. They were hard. They were fast. We couldn't stop them. That first try they scored, our boys were running backwards in the old bicycle, doing the old backstroke, wasn't happy about it, and it was pretty much that way for at least the first hour of the match. Too big, too hard, they wanted it more. They're the better team this year, and we need to improve on efforts like that. Even though we did come off a six-game winning streak, it was a real test. Unfortunately, we didn't actually pass it.
The other disappointing thing was, as we spoke about on last week's Sharkcast Radio, they were missing four of their best players, and we saw how good in Origin Damien Cook was. Gee, I might know a thing or two about playing rugby league, and they had a couple others out. We were only missing Val on the wing, and Sione Katoa jumped in for him. So, you know, Val's a fantastic player and all that, but you know, losing one of your wingers, it's not like he's a spine player or anything like that. And the real concerning thing was our inability to stop them motoring forward, coupled with the fact that we couldn't motor forward, meant that we were losing the meters gain stat by a healthy margin. And I'm going to worry about that at the pointy end of the season, Sam.
Yeah, there was one other late person missing, and that was Josh Dugan. But you're right, Newman, the forwards just dominated us. And it's a problem because we have supposedly one of the better packs in the competition when they're spoken about. We're always sort of in the top four of the packs. Respect, all that kind of stuff, experience. That experience is starting to wear away a bit at us. Our older boys, I thought they'll found out a little bit last week. It's 1 week, but
yeah, and I think it's a lot of the game plan too. Teams have worked out that we're going to go play in that middle third and just ruck the ball up the middle really hard. And if they can press their defense, they're going, you know, they can stop us moving up the middle really easily. And when our defense isn't on its game, and I mean, we lost Wade Graham really early doors, and he's like the on-field leader of our defense. So that's worth pointing out. But when our defense isn't up for it, you know, that's the result. We really struggle to stop teams going forward, but they know that we're going to be stuck in the middle third. And that's one of my endless frustrations with Chad Townsend, is he doesn't, like Moisa does, but Chad doesn't look to switch the angles. He doesn't look to get wide. The team just keeps playing up the center third, and Brayley's very similar. I mean, I might be picking on them unfairly. It could be a coaching issue.
No, I mean, I understand what you're saying. Brayley and Chad are very simple type players. They do go straight forward rather than to the edges. I thought out of all the 17 guys that played, I thought Moylan really was the one who looked the most dangerous. I thought he tried really hard. I thought he could lead with his head held high. So there is some hope there for me. Again, I'm not sure if he's playing the way we want him to play, or if, you know, I'm not sure if the relationship's really working at the moment, but he's a bright spot at the moment for me personally.
It really is unfair, though, and this applies to Chad as well. I criticised Chad. You were slightly critical of Moylan. Not too many halves can do much with what the forward pack gave them. The forward pack needs to go forward before the halves can do anything, and that applies to both of them. So they had very little to work with. We've seen in flashes how good both Moylan and Chad can be, but we didn't see enough of it. There was a bright spot in the last 10 minutes, and we piled on some points together. Sione Katoa showing what he's capable of.
I guess you just wonder why they didn't play a bit like that earlier on. We know that Flano's not going to let them play like that for 80 minutes, but every set or two, you could try something like that. I mean,
yeah, that's the point I'm trying to make about Chad. When we did move the ball, and we looked great.
Yeah, and he looked great. There's no use playing Katoa out there unless he's going to get some touches. Shout out to Edric Lee. He was really, really solid at fullback, particularly defensively. He tried hard in attack. His kick returns were pretty much non-existent, but he was safe under the high ball. But his defense as a fullback was probably the best we've seen from all the fullbacks this year.
Yeah, we're scraping the bottom of the barrel. A club that had six fullbacks now all of a sudden has none. They were the few bright spots from the match. More worth talking about are the negatives. I've been critical of this guy for a lot of years now about his high ball catching ability, and we may have seen the last of Sisai Fekki in first grade that we will see barring an injury crisis.
He'll always be a club legend because of his efforts leading up to and into 2016, but yeah, you're right. I think that Fecky's just a bit of a liability now in the high ball. Once he drops one, I'm not saying it's laughable. Once he drops one, he's going to drop 10.
I mean, he's a confidence. He's admitted it. We interviewed him about it, and he admitted he's a confidence player. His confidence is just gone.
His career will be fine. He'll find another club, whether it's here or in England. He's a solid first grader. Unfortunately, in the wing position, you've got to catch the ball. He's not very good at it.
Yeah. And another comment I've made about him, he doesn't seem to do that acrobatic Sione Katoa score in the corner
thing. He's a solid guy.
And that's pretty much, you know, bread and butter for wingers now. So
they might look to move him somewhere else if there's an injury crisis or something. I think he's got a year left on his contract at least, so it'd be interesting to see what happens there.
I'd love to see Flano try and mould him into a centre.
Yeah, we all do.
You know, and the centres is something we're going to have to talk about, but
they might do that.
Yeah, you never know. They might do that. Another thing worth chatting about, Sam, is Paul Gallum.
Yeah.
Starting to, you know, he's been a warrior for so long, but old Father Time seems to be catching up with him.
Yeah, it's two of his more unhappy games in a row. I'm going to say something which you won't like or agree with, but I thought Luke Lewis was off his game last week as well in a very similar way.
He wasn't as bad as Gallum.
No, but in defense, I want you to watch him from now on. He's ball watching way too much for me. He's like one step off defensively. I'm talking about the Souths game in particular. And again, I'm not picking on anyone. I'm just saying if we're going to pick on one old guy, let's pick on the other one as well, as much as you love him. Me personally, watching him, again, I thought he, with a few of the other guys, let the team down in defense.
Yeah, defensively, the effort across the board was bad. And that's one of the things about Gallen. It's not a personality issue, but his lateral movement is just about gone. He can't move side. He physically cannot do it. He can't move side to side. And you watch when they get small bodies around him, he can't turn and go with them.
Mm.
I think, you know, as much as he's been a warrior, well, we're not going to call on him to retire or anything, this should just be his last year.
I personally think that it's time for both of them to hang him up, but I say that with like every ounce of respect, and it's more about the future than them not being able to do it next year. I'm sure they could go on for three more years in some level. They'll still be better than a lot of other guys. I think it's time for some new guys to come in.
What are you watching about Luke Lewis? One bad game.
I don't want him to go out in a way that's...
He could have played Origin last night.
Against South, he was really poor in defence.
He was poor in defence, but he wasn't on his hand solo there.
I knew you wouldn't like it. I'm just saying. Like,
and Gal is a pattern with Gal, whereas this is a one-off.
Well, it's 2 weeks in a row for Gal.
Yeah, the whole lateral movement thing, it's been him all year.
I don't know about that. I'm not picking on your boy. I just think that last week, he was like a step behind defending the whole way, and I was getting so frustrated by it. But the whole team pretty much stunk in defense. You're right. Let's give him another week.
We were going back. As you said, they were backpedaling. It was horrible to watch.
We won six in a row. We lost one. We're sounding very negative.
And you can have...
We expect more. We expect them to win 16 in a row.
You're allowed to turn in a stinker, but the problem is it leaves us in seventh. It's a precarious position. If we lose a couple of more, I just don't think that if we're turning in performances like that, we're the real deal. But let's see what happens moving forward.
No, of course not. I think we're in the second bunch of teams. Like, we're not clear-cut favorites to win the comp. I think at this stage we probably will make the eight. which is great news. Yeah. Whether you can do something in there or not, I'm not sure. But you know what? Also, Newman, we haven't had the same team in the field every week.
I know, but that's something we're going to have to deal with. Because
yeah, I know, but I'm also saying like...
like Josh Dugan, come on. You know, we all wanted to defend him because of the jokes, you know, that he never plays and they call him Splinters Dugan. Or he's all, like, it's always like we get three games out of him and then he's out for a month.
Yeah, but you don't want to become like those Dragons fans where you just put shit on him.
Because, I don't want to put... I love him, like, as I'm a sure player. He's not doing it on field.
Purpose. We've seen him give his heart and soul in like the four games he's played or whatever. I don't know what it is. Obviously, it's not a club thing because every club he goes to, he has the same issues.
I know, but he's taking a big chunk of the salary cap. We want him on the field. I love him as a player. I think he's underrated by Sharks fans.
Our coach and management knew that about him. And they threw the stats at us about how when he plays, when he doesn't play, and we're bought in. But we also all knew, as the coach did, he's extremely injury prone.
So what, I'm not allowed to be frustrated?
There you are, but I wouldn't get frustrated at him. I get frustrated at the people who allowed him to come to the club and allow him to take up all the salary cap that he does. I'm saying that the club is responsible for Josh Dugan's health and well-being in this instance, for him not being on the field. Like, he's injury prone. We know that. He was a kid. When he was a kid, I'm sure he was. It's bloody annoying, man. He's a good player. I'm saying let's not be like those Dragons fans who just put shit on him all every week.
I didn't put shit on him once.
Let's have a fight. We're down and out in the dumps, Newman. It's one loss.
Yeah, it's one loss. And, you know, it's just a game. But, again, there's...
It's more than a game, damn it. It's state against state. It's mate against mate. They did it, Newman. They won for us. The Blues.
It's, you know, we're moving ahead. What else was a bright... Let's talk it up. Bright spots. Katoa's try was excellent.
Yeah, it was. And the lead-up work was great.
When they went his way, he looked great.
Yeah. Let's not forget he dropped that... Well, not drop that. He put his foot out for that bomb.
Yeah.
We're bagging Fecky, bagging whoever else, Val and whoever else. His kick defense was shocking. Katoa. But again, surely you learn from that. He's a young bloke. He learns from it.
I've been watching him for the Jets, and every time they kicked at him, I was going, oh, God, don't do it. His kick diffusion has been bad for the Jets.
Also, why didn't he score when he had that break? He had a massive break, and I would have put the house on him.
Yeah, you said that to me, but I watched the game back. He wasn't that clear.
Really?
There's bodies all around him.
Really?
Like, that's his nature, to pin him and go. There were bodies all around him, and he's changing direction.
I didn't watch the game back too much.
Yeah, but he was a bright spot. Who else was good?
Eddie Lee was great.
He was good, Eddie Lee, and that's about it, really.
Because when it was announced at 6:50 that he was going to play fullback, oh boy.
Thought Jesse was pretty good again, too. He was pretty strong.
Yeah.
Ricky Latelli. He's come off the boil, hasn't he?
Is there a reason why?
I don't know. It was just a really average performance from him. He just had no impact.
Yeah, I think also when the forwards are going, you know, so average in a game, you need your back five to really do it for you. And yeah, like I said, we were starting most sets from our 10-meter line. You know, whether it's Val or Dugan, they at least get us in a good spot.
Yeah.
That was a massive issue, missing both those guys in the one game.
All right. Well, we're not going to dwell on it anymore because it's a long way in the rear view.
Newman, you're depressing me. What's going on? Something going on in your life? What's going on?
We've got to move forward to a game against the Tigers. So we're going to cut to a break. And when we come back on the other side, we will have the news. This is Sharkcast Radio.
Hey, Newman, I bought some Sharks memorabilia off a dude in Queensland. I need to get it here as soon as possible, but the seller doesn't do shipping. I need it in a hurry. What am I going to do, buddy?
Mate, get straight on the phone to Dyson Logistics.
What's the deal with those guys?
Dyson Logistics can move anything from a small package to a 40-foot container, road, rail, sea freight, air freight, local, regional, international, and they will do it cheaper and quicker than those big corporate freight companies, and with better service too, because they have that personal family business touch.
Give me their number right now.
Hit them up on 0467-233-153. That's 0467-233-153. Or log on to the website, DysonLogistics.com.
A little birdie tells me they're also very big, passionate, long-time Cronulla Sharks fans as well. What a bonus. DysonLogistics.com. They go above and beyond. That's the Dyson difference.
LGB Supplements is the Shire's number one store for supplements and proteins. They have a wide range of supplements, including proteins, pre-workouts, and fat burners, on top of a massive range of exercise accessories, including boxing gear, activewear, gym gear, and water bottles.
Newman is free delivery Shire-wide and a price beat guarantee. Best prices anywhere. 10% price beat. The website is www.teamlgb.com.au. Just again, www.teamlgb.com.au. They're at Shop 6, 10 Waratah Road, Engadine. It's 20% off for Sharkcast listeners.
On top of that, they have friendly, accessible boot camps for all levels to shift those extra kilos. They have them in the Engadine area, and there's a boot camp at Woolooware coming soon. LGB, life's getting better.
Five gone for the men from Cronulla. It comes back for Kamali to go to Cavill. He's put it down for try.
Got it down.
Straight up above to Nila Tuaki. And Hanstead has asked the touch judge, what have you seen? And he wants to have a look at the put down. Well, he's the high-flying Luke Cavill.
Welcome back to the show, and now it's kind of that time where we see what news is washed in across Botany Bay towards the mangrovey shores of the SCGS. And as you said, Samuel, there was an exhibition match through the week. The Blues got up. Only one shark was on display. Val Holmes, I thought he was pretty serviceable for the Maroons. Scored a runaway try. Picked off a Jimmy Maloney pass. Turned the game in Queensland's favour. But he also made... There wasn't many errors in the game, and he made one of them. And he also had his pants pulled down on one of the Blues tries. So, 7 out of 10 style game, I thought.
That's what Val does. He's up, he's down. He was very, very involved, particularly in the first half an hour. That's what impressed me most. So
he took a lot of hard carries in the toughest game of rugby league. So, what a cat, hey? What a cat.
He's only in it for the fullback money, I believe.
Yeah, he's only in it. He's a sook. You know, taking those hit-ups again in state of origin level.
What do they call him? What do they call him on
Felix.
The... Right. Right.
Derricks.
Everyone's allowed their opinion. We got a podcast. They got a forum. It's all cool, man. Yeah, I thought he did pretty good. I thought the game was actually, A, excitable because of all the young folk in it, and B, it was just a good game, I thought.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Interesting watching Maloney. Felt very much like it was a... There was a bit of... 2016 Jimmy Maloney and a bit of 2017 Jimmy Maloney. Like, he gave away a dumb penalty early, couple of errors, bad errors that resulted in tries, and then some brilliant stuff.
Gussie was talking up big time. Did you see, I can't remember which try it was. Was it the one where Val, he kicked the Val, that one, and Val let the other bloke score? But the lead-up work was like some 80-meter lead-up work by three other guys. Or Tedesco, I think it was. Yeah. It was all Maloney.
It was all Maloney. And again, the pass, there's all the talk about the forward pass. If you got pulled up on the forward pass, he's a villain. But it was interesting. Yeah, the 2016 and 2017 Jimmy Maloney. But that was the only shark connection. But I've got to say, how good, as a New South Wales supporter, how good was it watching it with no... There's a segue nicely into the next section. No Aaron Woods... No Michael Jennings.
What you're trying to say was a team picked on form.
No Schnitzel Piss.
What's that?
Mitchell Piss.
Why are you calling him that? You're in a very aggressive mood, Newman.
It's just
Cobra Kai never die.
I know. I'd rather
you're
see.
You're trying to say team picked on form, yeah, is really good to see. I agree. It's why I tuned in. I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was really, really well selected team, and they were the better selected team, beat the other team because they weren't as well selected.
Yeah. All right. So segues nicely into the Woods Watch.
Woods Watch. We're still on it.
We're still on Woods Watch. You said to me, Sam, yes, early in the week, yes, you had firm mail that, yeah, he would be at the club tomorrow. Now, this is days
now,
ago.
Hang on a sec.
And he was going to play this weekend, and it was a done deal.
That's not quite what I said, and you know it. I said I had firm mail that we're strongly interested in him, which we are. There was a chance he was going to be playing this week for the Sharks, and he's not. And we don't have any further news on the signing. But I believe all that we're waiting on is the Canterbury Bulldogs to pay their end. The Sharkies don't want to pay too much for him. They're trying to get rid of him. So
I'm going to go on record now and say there is under no circumstances do I want him. Even if we get him for $200,000 this year and the Bulldogs pay three quarters of his salary, it's going to be on a three-year deal and we're lumped with him for years two and three on massive coin. He's a no for me every day of the week. You're better off going with someone who's more meat and potatoes and who's going to cost you half as much money and give you about the same output.
The only way I'm going for it is if the coach has some way, and he has done it before with guys like Fifita, is that there's something in the contract where we're not paying him the full cash for the 3 years. If it's the normal situation, like you're saying, and first year is, you know, peanuts and the rest is a lot of money, I don't agree with it either. I don't think he's worth the money. I don't even know if we need him. I think that Flano freaked out by that performance in the middle of the field last week. I really do.
The whole Woods deal's been on for weeks.
I know that, but I think it's been accelerated. I think he's seen what can happen to the Sharks.
I mean, he's got to be future planning, Flano, because as you said, I think Gal's guaranteed going to retire this year. I think Lewis will go around again next year, but he's not going to give you...
Well, he's probably not a front row forward anyway.
Yeah, he's not a front row forward. Then we're losing Lattelli.
Yep.
And Ramian. There's big holes in the squad all of a sudden. And there's a lot of experience gone and a lot of potential gone. So, you know, Flano's thinking, I need some good players in the squad.
I think he just looks at that games played column a lot and he goes, I'll take him. He's won the comp, we haven't.
I get it. I get looking at it and saying, if a bloke's played 100 NRL games, that he's worth having in your organisation because it's not easy to get graded into NRL and then it's not easy to stay into NRL.
I'm talking now about Woods, though. It's
Woods is a different kettle of fish. He stinks.
The only way it would work, and it has happened under Flanagan, is that he buys into the culture.
And maybe he would. I mean, is he mates with Gal from his origin days or I don't know. Like,
well, they all know each other.
But they all have cliques. Like, there's cliques within the Sharks
team. I know. Me, Val, Ricky, we all hang out, play Fortnite. I know that Canterbury are absolutely screwed as a club. They can't buy anyone. I think they bought someone this year for next year. It's like someone I've never heard of. They've lost Moses Mbai, who's their best player.
Yep.
They're getting rid of Woods.
To spend on the salary cap.
They're basically doing what Penrith did when they got rid of Lewis and Jennings and those guys. But they had this youth coming through who are now, you know, top four team, top two team. The Doggies don't have that. Desi screwed them. So my point about that is they're desperate to get rid of big cash.
And it was the same with look what Wayne Bennett did to Newcastle. He just left them with no players. Are they going to be in that kind of position? I don't know.
Yeah, they're not going to be competitive for 5 years.
Wow. That's by the by. I'm putting it out there. I don't want Woods under any circumstances.
Yeah, okay.
Apparently they're chasing Martin to power.
I'd rather pay him
$550,000.
Yeah. So there's three teams in the hunt for him, and it's going to be a bidding war.
I saw Martin Tapau driving through the Eastern Distributor, and he's got a big black four-wheel drive with the number plates KAPOW.
That's pretty cool.
Is it?
Pretty ballsy. Backing yourself.
Is it? Is there any other news, Sam? We can't announce anything about Woods, though. We don't know anything.
No, we don't know anything. I can tell you that it was happening as recent as 3 days ago. So I don't think the Sharks have necessarily cooled it down. I think they're waiting on the Dogs and what the Dogs are going to do with their money. Interesting to note, the Anderson family who came in on the board, their number one promotional thing was, we will not pay players to leave. We will not pay other players' contracts, other club contracts. That was their number one thing.
That's what I don't understand about Aaron Woods. Like, I can't understand why the Dogs would, to free up, say the Sharks pay $200,000 for Woods, which is a number we keep hearing. Why would they give away, like, why would they give their quote-unquote, one of their quote-unquote best players to the Sharks for the gain of one minimum wage player plus a bit? That doesn't make any sense.
I just wanted to put something on the Andersons. I don't like them.
I know you don't, Samuel. I know you don't. Is there any other news?
We're having a party.
We are. Don't forget our party.
And we can't wait.
We are having a party the 29th of June. It is our annual shindig for the Warriors away game. It's a 6 o'clock kickoff on Friday night. We'll be congregating at the Royal Motor Yacht Club on Friday afternoon about 5:30. The club has generously, they're going to donate, they're going to put pizzas on, wings on, And they'll have the game on live and loud. And then we're going to have a few beers. Shark Island Brewing Company will be tapped down there. And then we'll watch the game. And then we'll kick on and have a bit of a knees up afterwards. There should be a few people who know a bit about footy in there. Come down. We've also got Trucker Hat Samuel.
We do. We do. They're flying off the presses. And we're so happy about that. You can write to us, sharkcastpod@gmail.com. $25 plus postage. Everyone's got them. You need one. We wear them. Players wear them. Fellow listeners wear them. We want you to wear them.
This is a fact. I got stopped by a prominent member of the Sharks first grade side who may or may not be a co-captain, whose name rhymes with Shade Shayam.
Gade Wayam.
Stopped me in the street and said, "You're the guy with the podcast. Where do I get one of those hats?" And so I literally went and drove home and got him some hats and gave a hat to him and Jesse, and he was like, quote unquote, frothing. So they're in hot demand. You can buy one and I'll send it out to you.
What worries me about that very true story is that it was game day morning.
Yes.
And he and the boys were chilled as.
They were chilled to the band. Chilled. They were chilling like Bob Dylan, weren't they? They were not looking.
It was, they just wanted to sit there and eat Mr. Paisley's delicious food all day. That's what they wanted to do.
Tell you what, you're chucking out the free plugs for Mr. Paisley's.
If I keep putting them out, they'll bring us some food sometime.
All right, we are going to cut to a break. And when we come back on the other side, we'll have a preview of the Tigers game. This is Sharkcast Radio, voice of the fans. The RMYC Port Hacking is a true hidden gem of the Sutherland Shire with million-dollar views for the price of a beer. A world-class venue located on the western side of Port Hacking, it has glorious views over the boat moorings up to Bundina.
Open to members and their guests, you can grab a drink in one of the two bars, sit on the deck or on the lawn with the kids while they run around and watch the boats come and go. Yachty's Bistro is open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner and serves fresh, modern Australian dishes, local seafood, steaks, my personal favourite, Newman, burgers that are high on flavour and low on price. There's a full TAB facility on Saturdays, and of course the Mighty Sharky games are on live and loud on all the big screens. Don't forget about Friday fishing, it's a hit with the kids.
And if you mention Sharkcast Radio, you get a free garlic bread. Get down to the RMYC Port Hacking, 228 Woolaware Road, Woolaware, or find them online, rmycph.com.au, or on Facebook as RMYC. The Royal Motor Yacht Club, Port Hacking, home of Sharkcast Radio.
Hey Newman, I'm selling my house, but the gardens are a mess. Can you help me out, buddy?
I wish I had time, Sam, but why don't you give Craig from Endeavour Property Services a call? A qualified horticulturalist, Craig specialises in pre- and post-sale garden cleanups and makeovers as well as regular maintenance.
Sounds good, man. How do I get in touch with him?
Get in touch with Craig on 0424 294 321. That's 0424 294 321 or endeavourpropertyservices@yahoo.com. If you mention you listen to the Sharkcast, you get a 10% discount. Endeavour Property Services.
Dykes, Ebbinghausen, Peachy. Fullback playing it. Oh, Campbell's over. Canberra. Well, they just opened up. It was almost like a traffic cop saying, down here, come through here.
Welcome back to the show. Big game this weekend. The boys are going to want to turn it around real quick against the up and down West Tigers. And it's a 2 o'clock Sunday kickoff. And Sam, have you got a team for us?
I sure do, buddy. Sharks v Tigers, Sunday, June 10, SCGS, 2 o'clock kickoff. Your fullback, Valentine the Future Holmes. On the wings, Sione Future number 2, Katoa. And Edric Lee's back on the wing. Jesse Ramin, Ricky the tackle, Latelli are in the centres. Matty Moylan, Chad Townsend are your halves. Front row, Fifita, Braley, Pryor, Lewis Graham, Gallon are your back row. Immediate interchanges, Captain America, James Seguiaro, Jack Williams finds himself back in the team, and Jason Boogs-Bacuya. Extended bench, Capewell, Arva, Sorensen returns, and Fecky. I believe Arva was going through a concussion test, so to speak, during the week, and that's why he's not in the immediate squad.
I'm just looking at the weather report here, Sam, and unfortunately, it looks as though it's going to rain on Sunday and be chilly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to affect the turnout. 18 degrees and a mix of sun and rain. So normally when they predict that, the rain tends to bugger off. So hopefully that happens.
Yeah, there might still be a bit of a crowd. As you said, the Tigers are going okay, and their fans will travel a little bit. So
they've had an up and down year. Their last four games, they've won two, lost two. They beat the Dogs and North Queensland, and got rolled pretty heavily by the Penrith Panthers.
Should have beaten the Roosters last
week. And they had every chance to beat the Roosters away. So I certainly don't think it'll be an easy thing. It'll be a dogfight.
Their defence is really good, Newman.
Yeah, that's been an area of theirs which has sucked recently.
Mm.
But they've managed to fix it up under Coach Cleary. One of those interesting rivalries where we went for years where we were unable to beat them.
Yeah, it was like 2004 to 2011, I think, just disastrous. We've won the last four and something like 7 of 8, I think. So we're going okay against them recently, thankfully. But man, those of us with a slightly longer memory remember those awkward
games. Oh, mate,
and
I've got a lot of mates who are Tigers supporters, so I enjoy beating them. But yeah, they play a pretty tough brand of football, and Benji Marshall is in sparkling form for a man of his age, and now it's sort of thought he'd be able to come back and be this good. Luke Brooks all of a sudden looks like he's a good player. I know they've got that beast out of the wing, Mahe Fanua.
Yeah, I think he might cause a bit of trouble. He's so unconventional. I mean, this year they haven't scored a lot of points, as good as those players are going, and they've won on the back of the defence, very shark-like kind of style of play, I guess you'd say. But I think one day the attack will click. I'm hoping it's not this week.
Yeah, I just think that they don't have the cattle to be a truly week-in, week-out good side, and they've got a stinker in them. And, you know, if they get in a dogfight against a really good team, they could potentially capitulate. But their mental toughness is getting better.
Mm.
And, I mean, you'd have to think we're up for it.
Yeah.
Because if we lose here and we have a real dip in the centre of the year, I mean, and, you know, Val should be fine to back up.
Yeah.
So our Origin impact should be low. So we should be looking to tick this off with a win. I'll be down there, Sam, and I'll be looking for us to win by 6 to 12. I don't think we're going to blow them away, but I think we'll be too resilient for them.
Yeah, I'll probably jump on that bandwagon, Newman. I think it'll be a low-scoring game and not much in it. You're right. We need to get back onto that winning train. And in the last few years, we haven't usually lost too many in a row. It's been something they pride themselves on. Ivan Cleary is a hell of a coach. He impresses me so much. And the way he's turned them around so quick, I think backs that up.
Yeah, I mean, their squad isn't brilliant.
No.
Like, you're not... You would never, you know, a lot of those players you wouldn't get into our team.
No.
For example.
Good old Joshy Reynolds will be coming off the bench, you'd think.
Yeah.
It's probably the only position he can actually play half decently, and that would be in the hooking kind of role. So he'll do that again this week.
Yeah, so look, on paper we should roll them, but, you know, if we can't go forward in the middle like we couldn't against the Rabbitohs, will we... dead before we even start. Looking for big games from Fifita, Pryor, Gallen.
It should be pointed out, Newman, and we only just touched on it. The South pack this year is unbelievable. They are the best in form forward pack this year. So to get rolled by them wasn't embarrassing, and it wasn't necessarily an embarrassing performance. We just expect more.
I know, and I'm also saying, like, it's not so much that it was just one game. We also really struggled to make meterage against the Dogs. And early in the year when we were losing a couple of games here and there, I can't remember which one specifically, the only game we went forward in was Para. So we have had troubles making meters, and it's because teams are compressing against us. I just love to see us use the edges more. Get the ball out to Lewis and Graham early in the tackle count and use some of our strike power out wide rather than just barge it up the middle. Because if teams are expecting us to do that, they're going to play tight and there should be space out there.
Yeah, we've seen Chad and Moylan get the ball out there, so hopefully they can. I think even when the boys are doing the grind out of their own half from the kicks, spread it two times and don't just do one out hit-ups. Get it going a little bit and get Katoa two off the ruck and he can do a hit-up from the edge. I mean, there's ways around going down the middle the traditional way, and I hope that they're thinking about those same things.
All right, mate. Well, as we said, we both think it's a 6-12 result in our favour, and he's hoping that happens. We're going to roll Hope by Descendants, We don't want to hear this song too often this year, but make sure you make plans to come to our party, order a trucker hat, and always support our sponsors, Dyson Logistics, LGB Supplements, the Royal Motor Yacht Club, Port Hacking, Shark Island Brewing Company, and Endeavour Property Services. And I've been Newman.
I've been Sam.
And as we say every week,
up the shuckies.